I'm Jessica.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Stephanie.
And you are listening to Pastor's Wives Tell All,
a podcast by pastor's wives for church leaders and anyone desiring to take a peek inside our glass house.
We are breaking down walls and crushing pastor's wives' stereotypes within the church.
We want pastor's wives and other ministry leaders to know that they are not alone in this. Plus, this is basically therapy for the three of us with a whole lot of dance parties. Woo, 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 woo. Hey friends, welcome back to Pastor's Wives Tell All. We are super excited for you to hear from our friend, Janelle Miller. Janelle grew up as a preacher's kid and is now a pastor's wife. Today, Janelle and her husband have pastored Christian Life Church in Iowa for 10 years. She is the worship pastor and loves to be a part of leading people into the presence of the Lord. They have four sons, one daughter-in-law, and three grandkids. In her spare time, Janelle shares about interior design on Instagram at Integrity Design by Janelle. In our time with Janelle, she shares how she silenced herself out of fear when she became a pastor's wife and how God freed her to use her voice again with passion and purpose. Now let's get to our conversation.
Hello, Janelle. We're so happy to have you on the show today.
I am so happy to be here, and I'm looking forward to the fact that I'm probably going to be saying y'all by the end of this.
Yes, girl. That's all right, girl. Go ahead and get it out of your system if you want to.
Oh, it's just going to keep, it'll get just worse.
Give us a hey, y'all.
Just say, hey, y'all.
Oh.
Yes.
Look at you.
That was good. Okay, so guys, we have to tell you a little backstory about Janelle. So we actually had the honor of meeting Janelle at our Missouri retreat a couple of months back. And she was absolutely amazing. We love her so much. Mm-hmm. And we just had an amazing retreat with all of the ladies there. Yeah. And so we loved Janelle's stories and got to hear about her and what God has done in her life. And she was actually in my small group. So I absolutely loved having you in that small group. You are just so full of wisdom. So it just makes me really excited about this podcast today. So yes.
Also, your voice is very soothing.
Yes, it is.
In a very good way.
Yes.
Like, I want to sit and listen to you.
She could be a talk show host.
Yes.
Yes. Or read a book.
You know, you can do that. You can go read people's
I've heard
books.
That would be fun. You should do that.
You can make money.
Customer service online over the phone. I would get compliments all the time because of.
Mm-hmm. No, it,
rightly mm-hmm. so.
No, you have a good voice. I like it.
They weren't lying. It's really good. Mm-mm. It's really good. So Janelle, we might know you, but our audience does not. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, what your husband does, a little bit about your family, and share a little bit about your testimony?
Sure. Well, I am an Iowa native through and through. I am a pastor's kid. So I've been a pastor's kid since I was born, because my dad became a pastor the year I was born, literally. And I never considered that I would be a pastor's wife or anything like that. I actually had a very rebellious teenage era that rolled on into my early adulthood. I went off to college. I came back pregnant. So the preacher's kid came home pregnant from college. And so I... 5 years later, met my husband. He was already established in his faith, and he pulled me into his church family that he was already a part of, and they welcomed me with open arms. And it was really my first time being in a church where my dad wasn't the pastor. Mm-hmm. And so it was a different experience. You know, when your dad's the one up there preaching, you might not tune in as well. Mm-hmm. I finally understood the relationship part mm-hmm. of Jesus and how much he loves us, and just he wants to be your friend. He wants to hang out with you. And for me, because I'm a very relationship experience type of person, that's when Jesus finally stuck for me. Mm. It wasn't about the rules anymore as much as the relationship. So we spent the first 9 years of our marriage just diving into God, going to every Bible study, supporting our church, our pastors. During that time, we had three more sons. So we have four sons now.
Ooh,
from 25 to 9.
You got a lot of testosterone in your house.
We do. Oh my goodness. Our grocery bill is out of control.
Oh my goodness. I didn't even think about that. Wow.
And so now I'm actually a mother-in-law because my oldest is married and we have three grandchildren, which is so awesome. So now we have some more estrogen in the family, which is
great.
Yes.
I love that. Janelle, I think a lot of people will be able to relate to that, the part about not really knowing what the relationship with Jesus looked like until you're an adult. I resonate with that a ton because it wasn't until I was an adult as well that I figured out what that relationship part of knowing Jesus looked like. So we know you eventually would be in ministry. Tell us about the first pastoring experience that y'all had and the difficult situation that you stepped into with that.
Yeah. Well, in 2013, some things started to kind of unfold in our church. And our pastor, whom we loved and I still honor for what he poured into us to this day, he had a moral failure. His marriage fell apart and he needed to be no longer the pastor. And it was a very sudden move. And so at that point, our church was very small and my husband was the only one qualified. He was ordained as a pastor, but he was not operating in the office of a pastor at that time. Mm. So because we're business people, too, my husband knows a lot about systems and procedures and all the things. So he jumped in to pastor and we really just thought our role was to get the church in order, get their foundation rebuilt, get it all in working order because we knew we could not bring a new pastor into the mess that it was. Mm-hmm. We didn't feel like that would be right to anyone. But even despite that, so we knew that was our mission, but it really didn't dawn on me until like a week into our new interim role that I was the pastor's wife. And I kind of froze when I realized that because I'm a pastor's kid and I watched my mom and all that she endured as a pastor's wife. And I kind of just got quieter and quieter as far as sharing things. I can share more about that in a moment, you know, but I will say that, you know, we stepped into that role as an interim pastor, right? Mm-hmm. It's been 10 years. We're still in that role. So God has a big sense of humor.
Yes, he does.
So, yeah. I still think we're in the rebuilding and foundation part of it, actually. I think it's taken that long to reestablish some things. So,
yeah.
Oh, it takes time for healing, that's for sure.
Janelle, that's a lot to step into a situation like that where I know you're probably hurting too, because yes. I'm sure you had a relationship with this person and I think you might still have a relationship with him.
That is our hope. We actually live down the street from him even. So it is our hope, it is our desire. We've had visions of it happening and we're not opposed to it. We'd love to be a part of that restoration.
Right. Because you love him. And I think that there shows a great pastoral heart. Amen. Anyway,
for
sure. To want to see that restoration. But you're stepping into these deep waters, into a tornado in a way, because a church is wrecked when something like that happens and you're having to like pick up those pieces. And then you alluded to a fear kind of stirring up in you from your experience as a pastor's kid. So could you just share a little bit more about that?
Well, I say that most pastors, they walk into their pastoral positions kind of wading in, tiptoeing in through the shallow end of the water. But for us, it was like we jumped off of a cliff into raging water. Mm-hmm. So we're in a small town. So included in that transition was the drama around it, the rumors, the controversy, you know, the people that are mad at us, the people that matter at them, you know, just there's a lot. And you mentioned the mourning. I'm telling you, it was like mourning a death. It was awful. It was a very deep relationship that we had with our pastor. We literally lived next door to them. Yeah. So it was a very hard transition. But there was work to be done. There was a church to be restored. And there were people that were depending on this church. And our first Sunday, we had seven people at church. Mm-hmm. And we just kept going. We just kept forging ahead. And we've learned a lot. We've learned a lot through experience that most pastors get to kind of just slowly experience. I just feel like we learned it all. Like, what's the word I'm looking for? like a crash course. It just felt like a crash course version. It's definitely not what I grew up. My dad went to, you know, 4 years of seminary, and he started out at a church, and then, you know, very slow process. Ours was very expedited.
So can you tell us also just a little bit about everything that happened with your mom and what through that, seeing that growing up, how that fear was stirred up in you?
Yeah, I actually just called my mom last night so she could refresh my memory. And it was great because my dad was there as well. So they actually had a really great conversation. My mom is just naturally an introvert. So it's really not like her to put herself out there or want to be around a lot of people anyways. But early on in their pastoring, just little things would happen. And she did youth group. She did a clown and a mime ministry. And she was active in their little tiny country church, which is where I was at for the first 7 years of my life. But little things were happening behind the scenes that I had no idea. You know, I'm the youngest of five kids. I'm the youngest by 9 years. And so my older siblings, she mentioned my brother. Several things happened with my brother that where people came to them to complain about their kids. And as I listened to my mom talk about the experiences last night, about things that just kind of made her be a little more recluse and a little more and a little more and a little more, almost all had to do with kids and people's mm-hmm. opinions of their parenting or what she should or shouldn't be doing. Which opened up like a whole nother, I have such a heart for pastors' kids in addition to pastors' wives, but my heart is so turned towards pastors' kids. Mm-hmm. So she was hurt. She mentioned last night also that somebody mailed a book to her when they're at their second church, which they pastored for 17 years. Someone mailed a book to her anonymously. I tried to write the title there. She couldn't remember the title completely, but it had something to do with being a good helpmate. And if you're not working for God, you're working for Satan. And it was alarming for her to receive that. And she thought she knew who it came from. And so that just really hurt her. Just little things like that. Anonymous things, people's opinions, you know. So she just mm-hmm. became more and more recluse, and she just focused all of her attention on us at home, which is fine. She was the most amazing homemaker of all times, just hands down. But I saw the bitterness, you know. I know that you don't start out as a bitter pastor's wife, right? You start out with the hopes and dreams and aspirations of this ministry you and your husband are going to have, you know. Mm-hmm. But from what the conversation I had with her, I just really just heard that it was just little thing by little thing by little. What's the verse? It says the little fox spoils the vine. Mm. They just come and pluck one grape at a time, but eventually the fox ruins the vine. Just feel like that was her experience. So I just knew that I didn't want to be a bitter pastor's wife. I didn't want to be angry. I didn't want to be recluse. And so I've really tried to guard myself from that. But the fear of having to mind my P's and Q's and mm-hmm. do and say all the right things, I stopped mm-hmm. writing. I walked away from my blog because I knew everything that I said would be just scrutinized completely. Yeah, I don't know. The fear just increased. I mean, I would use my voice, but the fear would increase and it would increase. And I've had experiences where somebody didn't like something I did, you know, and posted, made a big old post on Facebook, you know, about the pastor's wife at this church, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Speaking of fear, Janelle, I know everything that your mother went through, and you keep saying little things. And I know people out there are going, no, I get you. I've been there. I know I am there going, yes, been there where people are inserting their opinions where they need to actually look inside their own life and deal with their own families. And so for me, just I get it. And it's not little things, because those little things turn into these huge mm-hmm. roadblocks and, mm-hmm. and just walls that we continue to build for protection. And it sounds like that's what your mother did a lot. You know, it's almost like in survival mode, especially when you're in the thick of it and there's no escaping it. And that's one thing as a pastor's wife, it's really hard to escape the naysayers, the people that are telling you their opinions. So I know that you had to watch that. And you've shared some of those things, and you've even started to kind of talk about you growing up seeing that and then what that did for you now being in a pastor wife role. But just very specifically, can you kind of tell us how did that fear just creep in and slowly take this huge hold on your life and who God has called you to be?
Yes. I used to lead things in the church. I'm a worship pastor, so I lead worship every Sunday. But I used to lead Bible studies or just special events and things like that. And I stopped doing that, especially after that one post that person posted. I really let that get in my head. I don't take it lightly. I don't want to ever be a stumbling block to somebody. I think the fear of teaching something that didn't line up with the word really got to me. There's a big fear there. Like, I don't ever want to teach something that's unbiblical. And that was the accusation, was that I taught something that came from another big church, and it was stupid. It really was ridiculous. I let the lie get to me. And looking back at that now, I know that was a lie. I know that was a lie from the enemy, straight from the pits of hell. Because during that teaching that I was doing weekly, I was seeing grown men come to tears through the healing they were receiving through this class. And so I partnered with the fear. You know, I believed it, and I let it just get to me. And I just more and more, I didn't volunteer to teach things. In our church, we are okay with women delivering the word. And my husband would always ask me if I would preach, and I would say, no, thank you. I don't want to do that.
Did you say it in that voice?
No, sometimes. Sometimes it's stop asking me, leave me alone. But I just lately, over the last like 6 months, I have just been getting this. I feel like it's the Holy Spirit prompting me, use your voice, use your voice. And I just kept hearing it, use your voice. And I would go to churches or to conferences, and the speaker would talk about using your voice. And it was just like blaring neon sign everywhere I went, to use your voice. And so actually after the retreat in Missouri, I came back and I said, fine, I'll preach. And that's literally how I said it. I was like, fine, I'll do it. And I knew that if I like put myself locked in on the schedule, then I would do it. But I felt like I was supposed to deliver this message about using my voice. So it was a really great time of reflection to really like focus on like, where did this start, you know? And I was taken back to when I was a little girl. At the age of 2, I would stand up in front of the podium and I would sing Jesus Loves Me. The cute little girl, you know, in the dress. That's the only song I knew, but I would sing Jesus Loves Me. Always loved singing. But as a teenager, I went to church camp and I stood up on that stage to sing. And this thing happened to my voice. I got this shaky vibrato thing that I could not stop. It was the most nervous. It was horrible. And every time I got up to sing from that point until I was like 24, 25, it would happen. And if it started to happen while I was singing, it wouldn't stop. I couldn't get it to stop. The fear just gripped me. And I was talking to my husband about this desire I have to share this message about using my voice. And he told me to look up Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, Zacharias is visited by an angel who tells him that his wife Elizabeth would become pregnant. And they're super old. And he was also said that he would call him John. And then Zacharias said, excuse me, do you see how old we are? That's not going to happen. And so at that point, because he did not believe what the angel told him, his voice was stopped. And what's the right word? His voice went away. He could not speak. He literally could not speak. And then Elizabeth, in fact, did become pregnant. And for the duration of her pregnancy, he could not speak. And she gave birth. And came time for them to name the child. And everybody thought, because this is Bible times, you give the father's name, right? They're all like, oh, they're going to name him Zacharias. And he picked up a scroll or paper, rock, whatever you chisel into in the Bible, right? And he writes, his name is John on it. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, his voice was restored. So when I thought about that story in comparison to my story with singing, I don't believe that God stripped my voice away, okay? But I believe that I partnered with fear, and that partnering with fear caused me to lose my voice. And I believe that in this story with Zacharias, he partnered with unbelief. Mm-hmm. And because he partnered with unbelief, his voice was taken from him until he agreed with what the Lord said to him. And if I had agreed with what the Lord said about me back then, not what my peers thought about me, I don't think that would have ever happened.
That's good, girl. Woo!
Janelle.
Yes.
So I resonate with so much of your story, just with the fear of failing or the fear of what, you know, other people will think. The fear of just all of that. Like, that's something that I really struggle with, just with everything that we're doing. And, you know, is what I'm saying good enough to put out there? Or will people resonate with what I say? And will this actually help further the kingdom? So I'm just sitting here going, my goodness, like he shows us in so many different ways that when we are obedient and we are a willing vessel, that it doesn't matter what other people think. He just wants our obedience. Mm-hmm. And I am still like, I mean, he's shown me over and over again, but it's just, that insecurity is something that always creeps in when there's something big coming up, or when, you know, when we have a retreat, or, you know, when we have to speak somewhere, whatever it may be. Because in my head, I'm thinking, well, I never had a desire to speak. I never had this like itch in me to do what I'm doing now. It has literally been an everyday open-handed, like, okay, God, if you still want me to be part of this, then you're going to have to show up, you know, because it's not anything that I have done on my own, but it's all been God through me. And I just love your story so much because it's in your obedience that he is speaking through you. And it is so evident, especially after meeting you and talking with you at our retreat, that God wants to use your voice 100%. And I think that he will, as you continue to be obedient and just do it.
Absolutely.
So I'm talking to myself too. So I'm just letting you know.
Just having a vulnerable moment,
yes,
right?
It's a very vulnerable moment. So thank you for being vulnerable.
Hey, friend, we will get right back to our episode, but we want to take a moment and thank our patrons. You guys keep our podcast going.
If you are not a patron and you would like to consider donating to our podcast ministry, we would be so grateful, and we might even do a happy dance.
When you become a patron, you get perks like being the first to hear about special info and retreats. You get bonus episodes, monthly devotionals, lock screens, and more.
Plus, we have added a new $1 tier for those who believe in us and what we're doing, just because you love us.
So head on over to our show notes and click on the Patreon link to learn more. Now let's get back to our episode.
Janelle, I'm so thankful that you are sharing in vulnerability, because not a lot of people will do that. And I love hearing that now God is helping you use that voice again. I know you said yes to preaching. Mm-hmm. I am sure there are other things that...
And I got to hear her preach.
Oh, did you?
What? Yeah, I forgot.
Can you go online and see that?
What, Janelle?
I forgot you listened to that.
I did. Now we're going to listen to it because she's going to have to share it.
I was
it.
So proud of you. Like, I like was teary as you were preaching because, you know, it just had come off a retreat and, you know, just in small groups, everything that was kind of mentioned and, you know, everything about taking back your voice. So it was just so cool. Like, you did an amazing job.
We're like literally living this out with you right now, experiencing it with you. So how do you see God using your voice even moving forward? Like, is there anything that God's calling you to that you know he's calling you to that you need to step into? Or is there something else you need to share besides the fact that you preach? Are there other ways that God's using your voice?
Well, I think a part of my calling is to encourage people to use their voice. Mm. I do have a huge heart for pastor's wives. I've told my husband that for years. I've talked about wanting to do a pastor's wives retreat of some sort, you know, just because I want to be able to pour into them. So I actually feel like sitting here with you guys today is a part of seeing some of this come into a full circle, you know, situation. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to use my voice, and hopefully there'll be somebody that's encouraged by it. I think that we need more examples of people who are scared to death to use their voice, but do it anyways because the Lord is telling them to.
Yeah.
The fruit doesn't lie, right? Mm-hmm. So we can beat ourselves up and wonder if we're doing and saying the right things. But, and I know you guys experienced this, you know, is what you're doing worth it? But then every testimony, every woman that comes to you and tells you, you know, what you shared really changed my life, or helped, saved my marriage, restored my relationships. Those are the things that God, I think he throws you a bone and says, mm-hmm. look, see, what you're doing is worth it. And it's, mm-hmm. and then the reminder is that it's not about me. Using my voice is not about me. Mm-hmm. It's about using my voice to free other people from their bondages, to see them live in the fullness that God has for them and their potential and their callings. I get so passionate about people who you just see them just constantly battling and they're not living up their callings, especially when you could see the potential, right? When you could see the mm-hmm. potential of them and you're like, oh, if I could just pull this out of you, I would, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, just encouraging them to use their voice. And that using their voice is not just like standing up to preach, you know, mm-hmm. or lead mm-hmm. worship. It's at the grocery store. It's at the doctor's office. It starts little. And those aren't right. little. Like those little times that you use your voice to encourage somebody or to share the gospel. Life or death for people.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, speaking of like, you know that is why you are given your voice is mm-hmm. to help. And we are vessels. That's all we are is yes. vessels. And our voice, if used properly, is
yes.
the Holy Spirit speaking through us. So ending our time together before we ask the last three questions, like these people that God, he's calling you to, mm-hmm. what would you tell them? They've listened to this episode. They've heard how the enemy tried to snatch your voice away, but God came back in and saved the day like he always did. And you obeyed and you started baby steps, finding your voice. Mm-hmm. Now, for those women that are not there yet, what is some just encouragement or verses that you could just speak into them today that can help them get out of where they're at?
I would encourage them to get quiet with the Lord and ask the Lord, where did this fear start in me to use my voice? What is hindering me? What is standing in the way? And just ask him to show you where that started. And he might show you something that happened when you were, I don't know, 5 years old, you know, that made you nervous to talk in front of people, or it could be so many things.
Yeah.
But just asking God and then asking God to show you his truth and to giving him the chance to administer healing in those areas. Going to somebody and getting healing, going to your pastor and asking them to help you overcome this fear or help you to identify where the fear came in. Mm. Just real quick, I want to share the story in Nehemiah where he is building the wall. And while he's up there rebuilding the wall, these people stood at his feet. Was it Tobias and Sanballat, I believe? They stood at his feet and they mocked him and they told him, you're ridiculous. This is stupid. Come down from there. What you're doing is not worth it. You're never going to get this wall rebuilt. You're never going to amount to anything. You're never this, never that. And in the Bible, it refers to them as mockers and naysayers. Mm. if he had given in to the mockers and naysayers and stopped what he's doing, the wall would have never been rebuilt and that nation would not have been saved. When we give in to the fears that enter our mind, it's not always literal people that are speaking these lies to us that cause the fears and cause us to stop using our voice. A lot of times it's our own mind and things that we allow, tolerate, I don't know. So it's just, are we going to give in to the mockers and the naysayers and stop using our voice because somebody didn't agree? Or if we know that we're to use our voice, are we going to continue on because we know that we're supposed to use it and that God is behind it?
Goes back to obedience.
Right. Yep.
Drop the mic.
Drop it.
Oh my goodness. Janelle.
Yes.
You are a gem. You are a gem.
Janelle the gem.
Janelle the gem.
That was some good alliteration, ladies.
Thanks.
Oh, they're fist bumping. Yes. Okay.
Anyway, so we have three final questions to ask you. Are you ready for the final three?
Yes, I think I'm ready.
Stephanie? Anyway, okay. Janelle, if you could go back and give your pre-pastor's wife self one piece of advice, what would it be?
Get healed. Mm. Get healed. Get healed. You're going to need to be healed to walk into this position of being a pastor's wife.
Oh, goodness.
You need to be operating from a place of overflow and not a place of lack. So get yourself healed. Get help. Do whatever it takes to get that healing, but do it.
I don't think we've had that answer like that before. No. And honestly, also, that's perfect.
She also said, get healed. She said it so. Oh. And then she got...
It went into my soul.
Do it.
I like it.
So good.
Oh, guess what? I have the second question. I was so focused on that answer. Like, it just took me back. I was like, nobody has said that. And that is so true. All of us need that. That's not just like a personal to you. That's everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was, I needed that.
That's why pastors are hurting people. That's why ministry leaders are hurting people. Right. That's why pastors' wives are hurting people, like because they never got healed. So a lot of their baggage comes into ministry. Therefore, they're just doing the same thing. And they're, it's crazy. It's so good. So good, Janelle.
Yeah. So congratulations, Janelle, for giving the answer that has never been given for that question. Woo-hoo! You get a gold star.
In 3 years. Nobody has said that. A little over 3 years,
can
actually.
Can you do like a pink sparkly trophy?
Of course.
Sparkles.
100%.
Okay. So speaking of pink sparkles, because that's something fun. You like that transition?
That's good.
Yes.
Except for where are the pink sparkles?
Oh, okay.
Just imagine them.
We'll find them. They're right here.
Okay.
Okay. What do you do for fun, either by yourself or with your spouse, to get your mind off of ministry things?
Well, when I'm not being all super spiritual.
Hallelujah.
I love interior design. I love decorating. I love vintage shopping. I love to make beautiful spaces and, I don't know, hostessing, like the bougie little, you know, table settings and all of that.
Yeah.
My husband and I are total foodies, so we love to go on date nights to fancy food places and, you know, act like we're food critics or something. I don't know.
I get it. I like it. Okay, so are you ready for your final question?
Yes.
What if she said no? I've always wondered if someone just said nope. I'd be like, not ready. Not doing it.
So what? She'd be like,
still
people
asking.
Get ready. The question is coming.
Soon they be dropping the mic.
Yes.
Okay. So here we go. If you could tell the church congregation one thing without reservation and have them really listen and respond, what would you say?
Are you ready? The days of comfy Christianity are gone. It's time to get your work gloves and your work boots out and get to work, because there ain't no time for comfy recliner Christianity.
Amen.
It'll probably take us into a whole nother podcast, but
yes, I just pictured, you know, like, not that there's anything wrong with this, but I do remember as a child coming to church, and we had those pews, and they were wooden, but they still had the little, you know,
Cushion,
but it wasn't real comfy, mm-hmm. you know. But these ladies would be bringing their pillows and sticking them all over the place. And that was their spot, by the way, too. You would not take their comfy yeah. spot. But I think about that, just that's so true. Like in life, in the Christian life, it's like we think that's all it is. We're going to grab our pillows and go listen to our cute little sermons and say, amen. And then we just leave and nothing has changed.
Mm. Yes. Amen. Yeah, preach it. Well, Janelle, thank you so much for just being on with us today. It was so life-giving, and I know all three of us truly believe this is going to help so many women and men mm-hmm. Because, I mean, we are human. There have been times in all of our lives where fear has taken hold. Mm-hmm. It might not be your voice, but it is something else. So we are praying for all of you today that you really, as Janelle said, you go back to Jesus and you look at the truth within scripture and let him speak over you because you will walk away changed. And that's what we have to do, especially like Janelle said, times are changing and we don't have time for comfortable Christianity mm-hmm. anymore. We have to get our big girl pants on and strap them up, strap those boots up and get ready for battle. Yes. And stop living an easy life because that's not what we're called to. So, right. Janelle, thank you. We love you so much. And until next time, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, friends, if you have enjoyed this episode as much as we have, please help us spread the word on Facebook and Instagram.
If you didn't know yet, Instagram is where all the fun is at. From dance reels on Wednesdays to spiritual encouragement and laugh out loud posts in between, there is something for everyone.
And last but certainly not least, if you could take a moment right now to stop what you're doing and give us a rating and review, even subscribe to our podcast, this seriously helps other people find us who wouldn't be able to otherwise. Thank you so much for your love and support. We hope you'll tune in next week.